Welcome back to the Christian Life Podcast, where we have good conversation for practical Christian living. Today we are on episode number 11, and we are your hosts, Michael Brazier and Art Nurnberg, and we're going to be talking about what peace means in the Bible. And we were talking beforehand about what about that verse in the Upper Room Discourse,
right,
where Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives it." And that phrase, "not as the world gives it," is a good, really broad category that I think we should start out talking about. Like, how does the world give peace to people? Because the whole point is that everybody wants peace in their life. They want comfort. Right. They want all their ducks in a row. The New York Times said, "Peace is a fable," because there's been like 15,000 wars since Jesus was born, roughly. And so peace is a fable in the eyes of the world, but they still promise it. And everybody's trying to basically sell it.
Yeah.
So how does the world promise peace?
Okay. First, we get this think about biblically what we're talking about with peace.
Yeah.
You know, just because you do have to sort out that there's two different ways that the Bible uses peace. In one sense, it speaks about peace, that we have peace with God because the war between us and God's over in the Lord. That problem of sin has been dealt with, and God's blessing is towards people. All right, so that's the peace. It's the end of a war. But peace was one of the peace and rest were one of the great hopes of the Old Testament, and then they come into the New Testament. And in that case, it's a sense of well-being. It's a sense of being blessed. And that's what God wants us to experience. He created us. He's a God from whom all blessings flow.
Yeah.
He's a God who is always seeking the well-being of the of his own. And he intends for us to experience that and to know the joy of all that and the peace that goes with it. So when human beings are robbed of that because they no longer have a relationship with God, then you're up to try to figure out how to have a sense of well-being on this earth. What do you think? This is one of those, what are we talking about there? What kinds of circumstances do we try to arrange for ourselves that create the peace?
Yeah.
So
some of the things that I thought of, like, we have insurance for everything.
It's true.
And in, like, we have health insurance and life insurance and car insurance and home insurance. And I'm sure there's lots more insurance opportunities. So, but that's always to provide security, which is to give this idea of peace. If you have health insurance, then if you get sick, it'll be paid for. We have police officers to provide security for us so that if there's a problem, there's peace in that problem,
right?
The idea of it. Like, we have during wars, there's bomb shelters for peace against, bombs. And people have, like, even at, there's all these safety things, safety regulations to bring peace to you as you go to an amusement park or to wherever you're trying to go. So we're always trying to bring.
Right. And we get in all kinds of movements. That's why there's political movements.
Yeah.
Because people think that if the politics went one direction, all would be well. I mean, nobody's out there to seek political circumstances which are going to ruin things. I mean, that may look to us individually that that's what's going to happen if you go that route. But they're doing it for a reason, to try to create a world which they think will give them safety. And that's in the concept of peace. I think we were thinking just a moment ago together, but it's not completely true, but in a general sense, you can say joy answers to our problem of satisfaction. We want our souls satisfied. When our souls are satisfied, then they feel joy. Mm-hmm. Peace answers to the problem of insecurity. It's safety. It's answering to that. It's answering. It's important because it answers the great... the greatest command, remember, said the most common command of the scriptures, don't be afraid, because human beings are afraid. We have a lot to be afraid of. apart from God. And we thought about it. I mean, you try, but how many enemies do we have? There's health problems. There are economic problems. There are international problems. There are criminal problems. There are family problems. There are, I mean, how can we possibly work out a place where we have a sense of well-being when enemies are coming in at us from every direction? But we try.
Yeah.
We try. We try to get enough money to feel like we can handle things.
Yeah.
But no matter how much money you have, if you have a heart attack or a stroke, the money, yeah. Okay, you can pay the doctor bill, but it doesn't make life peaceful. Mm-hmm. No matter how much insurance you have, you can't guarantee that your children are going to go a right way, that they're not going to. And if they go the wrong way, that will disturb your heart, and there goes peace, right? So peace on this earth is a tough thing, and that's why Jesus, he's getting down to it. People are always trying to find peace, and different things mm-hmm. promise it, but you know, it just isn't, it's not attainable.
Yeah.
At least on a long-term basis.
Yeah.
There might come a moment where, as they say sometimes, that everything is going the right way and you have a moment where everything's at bay, yeah. that I've held off all my enemies, but tomorrow's going to come. And when we're living in a dying and a sinful world, it's tough to achieve there.
Yeah.
So the search, but the search is on. And yeah. and it's one place I think that Christianity has something really big to say to human beings. Mm-hmm. Because when Jesus says it's possible for us to exercise faith, and out of that, don't let your heart be troubled. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
When he says something to us like Paul does, that don't be anxious about anything. Wow. Wow. That's enormous.
Yeah.
Because that's almost impossible.
Yeah. And anxiety is such a big deal.
It is a big deal.
And especially for young people, like
oh, yeah.
young people are very anxious, and they're medicated for it, and they are always trying to find an answer yeah. for their anxiety.
Yeah.
Like I read something recently, and it was something like there are more like crystals sold on TikTok mm. for people attempting to find healing from anxiety because they think there's power in these crystals.
Right.
And it's like one of the best sellers on TikTok.
Right.
And because you can buy stuff there. And young people are searching for an answer for mm. a power to help them heal their anxiety. And they're always aimed at, like, these crystals are always aimed at healing your anxiety.
Right.
And like, that's a place where as Christians, we can step in, like, there's someone more powerful than yeah. any crystal or right. any idea that yeah. you possibly could have. And he can bring good, perfect peace right. to your life. So,
yeah.
like, I think that's a good opportunity that
it's
we
big.
Can
Amen.
Reach young
Amen.
People at because
yeah.
they
If
are,
we can live it out.
Yeah.
The key thing here is that's why I think this is so important to us is we have a responsibility as the people of God to demonstrate to people that it actually can happen. That's where the that's where the rub comes. If we don't exercise the faith in the realities that God gives to us, it says, here's the way the passage goes is peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. That's the peace Jesus had. Mm-hmm. And he had peace. That discussion in the upper room has to be one of the, to me, as a nervous sort of person, one of the most amazing discourses ever delivered. Because mm-hmm. that man, Jesus, is about, he's only 12 hours from a cross. And just the pure physical agony of the cross would have me disturbed. Mm-hmm. And yet he's talking to his disciples and he's encouraging them. And he's still, his thoughts are coming straight. They're not disturbed. They're not, you know, mm-hmm. they're coming at it clearly. How does he do that? Because he had peace. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow he would face the cross. Now, how could he be at peace? Because his father had sent, this is his father's plan, and he knows his father. And his father's taking care of everything. It will be a terrible weekend, but it's going to be a glorious finish. Mm-hmm. But he still has to go through the terrible part, but he's at peace mm-hmm. in the sense that he now is, he knows his father's in control. Now he says, peace, I leave with you. My peace. The same thing. When they are in Christ, they will have the same kind of daily care that Jesus had. Mm-hmm. Okay. But then after he says, not as the world gives, he says, I'm not going to give it to you like the world. I'm not going to give you things which secure you. I'm going to be security to you. It's our relationship. Then he says, here's what you need to do about that. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't go there. And that's a great act of faith. We could say this all day long and then face a difficulty or a strain or something that in the family disturbs the peace, or in our finances it disturbs the peace, or in our health that disturbs the peace, and not do what we're commanded to do. Don't let your heart be troubled. If we do that, we have an enormous evangelistic tool for the world. Because when Paul speaks, this is my own, can't sort it out, can't say it for sure. But when Paul in Philippians talks about, he says there's a peace which passes understanding. Mm-hmm. We tend to think that the peace that comes is something that we don't understand. And I don't believe that's what he's talking about. We understand it because it's the peace of the security because of who we are in Jesus Christ. Talked last week about joy. Joy isn't just something that comes out of the air. It comes as a response to a good circumstance. Peace comes as a response to security being supplied.
Yeah.
So it's to a world that watches that this is a peace which passes understanding. It's mm-hmm. incomprehensible to someone who doesn't have that relationship with God. So I think it's a great tool.
Yeah.
As they watch, hey, wow, how can you handle that?
Yeah.
And I've known, how many people have I known in 50 years who have had that? They've been in a place where they were in a similar circumstance to someone else. And I said, how can you handle this? How can you handle this? And that was the open door to present the gospel.
Mm. That's really good. Can we backpedal a little bit to what the two different types of peace that Scripture talks about? Can we talk about the more objective peace, like our peace with God? Because Romans talks about that, like we have peace with God through faith. So what is the difference? Well, maybe not what is the difference, but what is that kind of peace? And how is that more of a bedrock for the peace that we experience in this life?
Okay. And the two have to go hand in hand.
Yeah.
If I don't have that one, then I'll never have the other one. Okay. Peace of God. Every human being on this earth ought to be worried because they're all facing death and they're all wrong with God. All of us. We were all in the same boat. There's nobody, you, me, all of us. We were wrong with God. God hates sin and he opposes it continuously. If you appointed unto men once to die, then comes judgment. Then we have to give account. So everybody should be disturbed because God's at war with them in one sense. It's a mystery of the Scripture that he's at war with us, but he's also seeking us. But there's a war there because he hates sin and he will not budge on that one. Okay. In the Lord Jesus Christ, all the sin that we committed was placed. It was put on him. He took it, absorbed it to himself. And at the cross, he paid for it. God only hates one thing, and that's sin. If the sin is gone, the war is over. Right? There's nothing else. He doesn't dislike our funny noses. He doesn't dislike our idiosyncrasies. He dislikes sin. If sin is dealt with, he then, as the God who is full of blessing, can bestow blessing. At the point that I respond to the love of God in Christ and entrust myself to the person of Christ and receive from him that salvation, at that point, the war ends. That's one of the most wonderful thoughts you can have, that the eternal God who made everything, that I am in harmony with him because of that great act. That's what we call justification. There's now no condemnation. There was never a time when I will ever be accused by that God and condemned. It just won't happen because of the work of Christ. So that gives me a bedrock confidence. Now, that means that the war's over. But because the war's over, from that point on, my whole life can be well-being. Because no matter what happens to me, I'm eternal and that God's eternal. And it's a blessing because he's, Ephesians chapter 1, he's blessed me with every spiritual blessing now. Heavenly places. I can't be more blessed than I am. You can't be more blessed than you are if you can trust in Jesus Christ. So that's the bedrock of it. Because that's so, his full blessing is always towards us. Completely. Mm-hmm. Completely. It's not partial. It's not temporary. It's not on some good days. Every single day, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. That's spoken in a very bad moment. Yeah. But the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Mercies never come to an end. They're made new every morning. Out of that, that comes because of the war's over. Then the peace can flow. Because now I can be in a place where God's blessing towards me is there in every realm of my life. So that no matter what happens to me, it's all working together for good. It's all producing a good end. Mm. That's what he promises.
Yeah.
So the two do go hand in hand.
Yeah.
But the first is very important.
Yeah. You have to be at peace with God.
Yeah.
And that allows us to be at peace in our circumstances in our life. Well, when I was thinking about, you said Jesus was, he was having that really difficult circumstance. He was facing that difficult circumstance in his life, and he was calm. He was at peace.
Right.
And in Hebrews, it's when the author talks about how Jesus sympathizes with our weakness.
Right.
And I think that's also important to remember.
Right.
When we're struggling with anxiety or fear or whatever, we're not at peace. That he has sympathized with us. He's been in a really difficult circumstance as well. He's not unaware of it, but he's also praying for us in that moment because he's our great high priest who is interceding on our behalf. And so we can have peace in our really difficult circumstances.
And that creates another aspect of it. That's where the prayer part becomes so important. No matter what's happening to me, I can take that straight to him. It's not as if I just have to ignore it. Mm-hmm. I have to bring it to him. I mean, and I believe that's what the Lord did during his life, those long periods of prayer with his father. Because he is a man on this earth. He is the God-man, but he is a man. And he entrusted it to his father. He was praying. He was putting those things on. So it's not as if, okay, if I'm struggling with anxiety, then what do? I come. Don't be anxious about everything, he says. That's the way Paul just says to work it out. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. In anything I'm coming to, make your request known to God. What do I need at this point? What do I need? Because the circumstances that create that would rob us of peace are demanding circumstances which we have to have an answer to. Mm-hmm. It's not just that in the end it will be okay.
Yeah.
It's that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He will meet me. He will be to me what I need at this moment. Jesus knew his Father would be to him all he needed, all the way to that point on the cross where he does something that we really can't do. He died at his own command, if you would, when he entrusted himself into your hand. I commit my spirit. I'm putting my life as I die into the hands of his father, knowing that in that he could have peace because his father would take care of it. And we can do that. So it's not as if He doesn't care what's happened to us. He's mad that we're not, or he's angry with us that we're not rejoicing in him, or that we're not at peace. It's as the peace is tested, we go to him and receive from him what's necessary to face. But it's his desire that then peace come in and flow.
Yeah. When someone is facing a big decision, oftentimes they can ask, like, oh, I want to have peace about a decision. Right. How would you address that? Like, are they going to ever be like internally have this feeling of peace? Is that like, what are they?
That puts us in. There's a lot of different opinions on how guidance comes.
Yeah.
Okay. And how we get there. I don't look that direction. Mm-hmm. Because the verses that they're basing that on, I don't think are speaking that direction. Mm. Again, if something in your conscience disturbs you, you shouldn't have peace. Right?
Yeah.
But I could be making a wrong decision, which technically it's not the best decision, but it's not a sinful decision. You're making a sinful decision, well, you won't have peace about it. Okay. But one of the problems with the peace thought with regards to guides is this, just after 50 years, when people do what they want to do, they always feel better about it. And they have a tendency to call that peace. That's my,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know it. I'm not accusing anybody. You're really going to do that? It just seems like a dumb move, but they have peace about it. And it blows up and they wonder why. But they were looking for this when they should have been going at things in decisions. What does the Word of God say? What are my opportunities? What do other people think? It should be inquiring from the body and other people, and not that other people guide us, but their wisdom can help. So I don't put a lot of stock on peace.
Yeah.
I don't look for it in this because I don't think it's, it's just not a course to wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom is found. What's the Word of God say? What's the most important thing to do here? Again, I might say that, okay, I got peace about this, but that's a habit, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
And
it's not necessarily connected to the biblical understanding of what
peace
is.
No, it's not necessarily. Now, again, there are those that would beg to differ with me on that. And I understand. But peace comes because I know God's blessing is towards me. That's the peace that we're concerned with. And no matter which way I choose on a neutral subject, the love of God's still towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I have peace about the decisions for this reason, and I counsel everybody on this one same way. Ultimately, me finding the right path is up to the shepherd, not the sheep. So I ask the shepherd to guide me, and I count on him to do that. And that gives me peace. I'll find my peace in his care. Because I found over the years that I could do stupid things and think I was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I just have to admit, I've been too long at this to know that you can't. You go, oh. But I also know that there's a shepherd who kind of patches up the way and redirects and meets. So my peace comes in that, hey, when I've made my decision and I've taken the action, the love of God still towards me. The shepherd's still out there. He's still, and he will work it all together for good. And he's going to shepherd me into the purpose of God. So I count a lot more on the shepherd than inward peace, I think, is dangerous as a source of guidance.
Yeah.
It just is. Find out what the Word has to say. Trust the shepherd. Make your decisions. There's a lot to guidance, but I don't go that route too
much. That's helpful.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else that you want to say in to close it?
No, but except that God intends for us to live there. Mm-hmm. He intends for us to actually have this. And if we walk in the Spirit and we let Him, the Spirit of God, show us who the Lord is and strengthen us in our faith, and He intends for us to live at peace in all circumstances. We can get to that place where circumstances don't disturb us excessively.
Yeah.
That we can, as we were thinking about with joy, we can look away to Jesus.
Yeah.
We have to face these circumstances. And again, we don't want to be unrealistic about it. It says, in this world, you'll have tribulation. That's what we're doing there. Cheer up. I've overcome the world. But it is tribulation. Tribulation. When the Lord actually faced, when it finally got the moment to face the cross, he had a very disturbing experience with his father as he goes to Gethsemane. He still has trust in his father. It doesn't mean we can't have difficult moments along the way, but he found peace. The moment that he comes out of that garden, it's just amazing. He's at complete peace again. No stress, no. It's before Pilate. My father didn't give you permission, you couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. My kingdom's not of this world. He didn't defend himself because he knew it was in his father's hands. It was a tough moment. So we don't want to make it sound like we don't have to entrust ourselves to God, and we won't have to maybe struggle through things that are painful to us.
Yeah.
With the Lord who sympathizes completely with us in that. But he can give us real peace and enable us to live that way.
That's really good. Well, thank you. As always, you can listen to all of our previous episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And we will see you again next week. Until then, may the Lord bless you.